And when she's got a great idea, I'm backing her up. When I've got a great idea, she backs me up, and the two of us are moving forward on innovation, and particularly in healthcare, and particularly in community behavioral healthcare. And Katrina and Kim, thank you. I mean, I'm listening to you, and you know, when I first started complaining that we only do behavioral healthcare through grants, and why don't we fund it like healthcare, like we fund physical healthcare? Why aren't we funding mental healthcare like physical healthcare? It was just an idea. And so we had to put in place a demonstration project and show that it worked. But to hear your words, oh my gosh, it just means so much to me. Really, really does. And Gervon, I am so impressed that you have gotten the crisis dollars, that you are doing inpatient. You know, it really is a continuum that we need. But I want to go back, because I use this all the time. I noticed you talked about President Kennedy. 1963, the last thing he ever signed, the last law he ever signed before his death, was the Community Mental Health Act. And the vision was to stop housing people in hospitals that could get quality community care close to home, give people the quality care that they needed close to home. Well, the first part of that happened. The hospital was closed. The second part of that, other than in a few cases, you know, comprehensive community care didn't happen until now. We are fulfilling the vision that JFK had all these years ago. And in fact, it was on the 50th anniversary of his signing that bill that Senator Roy Blunt, my Republican partner, and I went to the floor of the United States Senate to introduce this legislation and to indicate how we needed to fulfill that promise, which we now have. Now, we've got a lot of work to do, and this is where your senator is the champion. 17 clinics, great. That's more to be done, more to be done. And there's really two pieces of this, and this is very, very important, because we put in place startup grants with full requirements on the comprehensive nature of the treatment. But the second piece is to fully roll all of these clinics into permanent Medicaid funding. Healthcare, not grants to stop and start, healthcare, which is the second piece of it that also Senator Cantwell is talking about, that involves the state coming in to be able to get that Medicaid funding, as well as the enhanced funding that we have provided, larger match than normal in terms of the Medicaid piece of this. So the goal is to fund healthcare above the neck the same as healthcare below the neck. That is the goal. So that we are funding behavioral health clinics the same way we fund community health clinics. In Washington State, where there is a federally qualified community health clinic, they are receiving full funding for the clinic through Medicaid, as well as other insurance. Up until now, that has not been available for community behavioral health care. And so this really is why I consider it a movement. I consider this is a transformation. It's one that we have to keep going until everyone has access to it. And the reality is, as Senator Cantwell was saying, the numbers initially are astounding. Not only, I mean, in the past, the jail and the emergency room were the de facto mental health services, right? That's it. I mean, despite all the wonderful work you're doing, it's somebody went to jail, shouldn't have been there, but needed help, or they sat in the emergency room. So now, fewer people in the emergency room, fewer homeless, fewer people in the hospital. And the other number is that we have 60% fewer people sitting in jail. So some of our biggest partners have been law enforcement. The way we were able to get the funding that Senator Cantwell just talked about, which is the largest funding for behavioral health care ever in the history of our country, the largest Medicaid increase since the Affordable Care Act, is because we had police chiefs, we had sheriffs, we had people in the communities that were saying, we want help. We know when we go to a situation where someone needs mental health help, they shouldn't be in our jail. They should be getting crisis services. They should be getting the kind of care they really need. And so law enforcement are very big part partners with us in getting this over the line, which is why when we were talking about the gun safety bill and saying we should do something on mental health, we raised our hand and went, yo, actually we have something here that's working. And people were willing, because it was evidence-based,
yes,
they were willing to actually proceed. So,
and you had already started a pilot and it was working.
Exactly, exactly right. So that's really where we are now. Now it's fully implementing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have 17 clinics, and Sarah Cantwell, you know, she's on it in terms of more and more and more. But we have 500 clinics across the country now. We have 10 states that are in the full Medicaid funding. Washington State needs to be next up to be part of this. And then we're going to be able to say to everyone that you're going to be able to get the care you need without stigma. I mean, I have to say, I saw some recent numbers in Michigan that I was thrilled about. A third of the time, anyone who walks into the clinic is seen the same day. And everyone is seen within 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are talking, and all comers. It used to be Medicaid would fund severely mentally ill patients, sort of one by one, right? We had to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's funding the clinic. Anybody who walks in, anybody who needs care, working with our hospitals, working with law enforcement, and saying to folks that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help. Because we know, even before the pandemic, 1 out of 5 people in our country would have a mental illness in their lifetime, 1 out of 5. And the largest number of people dying under age 50 is a drug overdose. So, and I will end by saying, for me, this has been a passion. I have lived this in that I grew up in a small town in northern Michigan where my dad, when I was in middle school, started showing signs of being bipolar when we didn't have that diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew what it was. There was no medicine.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was director of nursing at the hospital, so she had the latest of everything there was, but there was nothing other than a whole lot of stigma.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we know that it's chemical imbalance in the brain. If you take medication, if you get the help you need, you go on and live your life. And that's what we want for everybody. So I want to thank Sarah Cantwell. I'm here because she is the person standing on by my side that has pushed this through. So thank you.
Thank you.